أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ
Hast thou not heard of those who went forth from their homes, and they were thousands, fearing death? And Allah said to them, Die. Then He brought them to life. Surely, Allah is gracious to men, but most men are not grateful. Footnote 300. When being persecuted by Pharaoh, the Israelites left Egypt and crossed over to Asia. Moses wanted them to enter the promised land, but they were afraid of the people that dwelt there and refused to march ahead. Chapter 5, verse 25. Footnote 301. The Bible represents the number of the Israelites migrating from Egypt as 600,000. Recent researches favor the Quranic view, according to which they were only several thousand. History of the People of Israel by Ernest Renan, page 145, and History of Palestine and the Jews, page 174, by John Kitto. See also chapter 2, verse 61. Footnote 302. The Israelites left Egypt because their further stay in that country would have meant their total annihilation. Pharaoh had recourse to all sorts of means to destroy their manhood. See chapter 2, verse 50. Footnote 303. The reference is to the wandering in the wilderness of Sinai of the Israelites, who had refused to march with Moses into Canaan until they perished in the wilderness, and a new generation arose who, inspired with a new life, marched into the promised land under Joshua. Elsewhere, the Quran says, Then we raised you up after your death. Chapter 2, verse 57.
Verse 245.
وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ
And fight in the cause of Allah, and know that Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Footnote 304. The address is to the Muslims. They are told that a people who do not shed fear of death and are not prepared to sacrifice their all for the preservation of their national existence and honour do not deserve to live. This is the secret of national progress which the Quran inculcates.
Verse 246.
من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة والله يقبض ويبسط وإليه ترجعون
Who is it that will lend Allah a goodly loan, that He may multiply it for him manifold? And Allah receives and enlarges, and to Him shall you be made to return. Footnote 305. The Quran speaks of spending money in the cause of Allah as giving a loan to Him, meaning thereby that money spent for the promotion of righteous causes should not be regarded as money wasted.
Verse 247.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَإِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمُ ابْعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قال هل عسيتم إن كتب عليكم القتال ألا تقاتلوا قالوا وما لنا ألا نقاتل في سبيل الله وقد أخرجنا من ديارنا وأبنائنا فلما كتب عليهم القتال تولوا إلا قليلا منهم والله عليم بالظالمين.
Hast thou not heard of the chiefs of the children of Israel after Moses, when they said to a prophet of theirs, Appoint for us a king, that we may fight in the way of Allah? He said, Is it not likely that you will not fight if fighting is prescribed for you? They said, What reason have we that we should not fight in the way of Allah? When we have been driven forth from our homes and our sons. But when fighting was ordained for them, they turned back, except a small number of them. And Allah knows the transgressors well. Footnote 306. The incident mentioned indicates an improvement in the condition of the Israelites at the time to which this verse relates, compared with the time of Moses himself. In chapter 5, verse 25, the Quran relates that when Moses exhorted his followers to fight the enemy in the cause of Allah, they replied, Go thou and thy Lord, and fight, and here we sit. On the contrary, in the present verse they are reported to have said, What reason have we that we should not fight in the cause of Allah when we have been driven forth from our homes and our sons? The improvement, however, was only verbal rather than real, for when the time of actual fighting came, many of them wavered and refused to fight. The incident thus serves as a grim warning to Muslims to beware of treading the same path.
Verse 248.
وقال لهم نبيهم إن الله قد بعث لكم طالوت ملكا قالوا أنى يكون له الملك علينا ونحن أحق بالملك منه ولم يؤت سعة من المال قال إن الله اصطفاه عليكم وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسم والله يؤتي ملكه من يشاء والله واسع عليم.
And their prophet said to them, Allah has appointed for you Talut as a king. They said, How can he have sovereignty over us, while we are better entitled to sovereignty than he, and he is not given abundance of wealth? He said, Surely Allah has chosen him above you, and has increased him abundantly in knowledge and in strength of body. And Allah gives sovereignty to whom he pleases, and Allah is bountiful, all-knowing. Footnote 307. Talut is the attributive name of an Israelite king who lived about 200 years before David and about the same number of years after Moses. Some commentators of the Quran have wrongly identified Talut with Saul. The description of the Quran fits in more with Gideon, Judges chapters 6 to 8, than with Saul. Gideon lived in about 1250 BC, and the Bible calls him a mighty man of valor, Judges chapter 6, verse 12, which is the same as Talut. According to some Christian writers, Incidents related in this passage refer to two different periods, which are separated from each other by the long interval of 200 years, and refer to this passage as an instance, as they say, of historical anachronisms to be found in the Quran. The passage does indeed refer to two different periods, but there is no anachronism in it. The Quran has here referred to both these periods. Its object in doing so is to show how the unification of the different tribes of Israel began in the time of Gideon, i.e. Talut, 200 years before David, and was finally consummated in the time of David. The words "after Moses" in the preceding verse indicate that the incident belongs to an early period when the Israelites as a nation had just begun to take definite shape in history. For 200 years after Moses, they were divided into different tribes and had no king and no fighting force. In 1256 BC, owing to their iniquity, God delivered them into the hands of the Midianites, who plundered and ravaged them for 7 long years, and they were compelled to take refuge in caves. Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Upon this they cried to God, and he raised among them a prophet, and an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, appointed him king, and promised him divine help. Then Gideon said to God, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Judges chapter 6, verse 15. This tallies with the description given in the verse under comment about Talut. What makes the identification of Talut with Gideon still more certain is the fact that it was in the time of Gideon and not that of Saul that the Israelites were tried by means of water. And the description of the trial as given in the Bible, Judges chapter 7 verses 4 to 7, is the same as that of the Quran. From Judges chapter 7 verses 6 and 7, we learn that after the aforesaid trial, there remained with Gideon only 300 men. It is interesting to note that a companion of the Holy Prophet is reported to have said, "We were 313 men in the Battle of Badr, and this number corresponds to the number of men who followed Talut." Tirmizi, chapter on Sayyar. The hadith lends support to the conclusion that Talut was no other than Gideon. What further confirms the identity of Talut with Gideon is the fact that this word is derived from a root which in Hebrew means to fell, Encyclopedia Biblica, or to hew, Jewish Encyclopedia. Thus Gideon means one who cuts down his adversary and fells him to the ground. And the Bible itself speaks of Gideon as a mighty man of valor. Judges chapter 6 verse 12. See also the larger edition of the commentary.
Verse 249.
وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة إن في ذلك لآية لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين.
And their prophet said to them, "The sign of his sovereignty is that there shall be given you a heart wherein there will be tranquility from your Lord and a legacy of good left by the family of Moses and the family of Aaron, the angels bearing it. Surely in this there is a sign for you if you are believers." Footnote 308. Tabut means number one, a chest or box. Number two, chest or breast or bosom or the ribs with what they contain, as the heart, etc. Lane. Number three, the heart which is the storehouse of knowledge, wisdom and peace. Mufradat. Commentators have differed about the significance of the word tabut, and the Bible mentions it as an ark or chest, and the description given in the Quran definitely shows that the word has been used here in the sense of heart or bosom. The description of the tabut in the verse, "wherein there will be tranquility from your Lord," cannot apply to an ark, for far from granting peace and tranquility to others, the ark spoken of by the Bible could neither protect the Israelites against defeat, nor could it protect itself, as it was carried away by the enemy. Even Saul, who took with him the ark during his campaigns, suffered crushing defeats, so much so that even the enemy pitied him, and he met with an ignominious end. Such an ark could not be a source of tranquility to the Israelites. What God bestowed upon them were hearts full of courage and perseverance, so that after the said tranquility descended upon them, they successfully resisted the attacks of the enemy and inflicted heavy defeats on them. Footnote 309. Another favor which God conferred on the Israelites is referred to in the word legacy. God imbued their hearts with the noble qualities which characterized their ancestors, the descendants of Moses and Aaron. The legacy left by the descendants of Moses and Aaron did not consist in any material things, but meant the good moral qualities with which they were endowed as the heritage of their great ancestors.